the applicant, and also Ringlarder with Davis Bowen and Friedel. You've received an exhibit book that was submitted containing a summary of proposed subdivision supporting documents, including the applicant's Section 99.9C compliance letter and the plus comments and response, as usual. You're used to this now. You have the book. And actually, prior to this, we submitted the declarations that Ms. Cornwell referred to Mr. Robertson, as well as the restrictive covenants that already exist for the subdivision. Mr. Hayes is hovering here because I'm technologically challenged. We also submitted some exhibits that we're going to pop up as I go through this. Hawthorne is an existing subdivision located east of Georgetown, about 4.5 miles on the Lewis-Georgetown Highway on Route 9. Those of us that have traveled it see it all the time, and what's been going on there, it's been a busy place. It's just east of Gravel Hill Road. It's in an AR1 district. Hawthorne is approved for 213 lots and is well underway. Phase 1 is done, Phase 2 is done, and they've had some permits pulled for Phase 3. It was originally designed with a wastewater. I'm going to sort of tell you why we're here, and it starts with wastewater, so that's why I'm beginning with that. It was originally designed with a wastewater spray field on 28 acres. And there should be a slide up there. Yeah, there it is right there. The original plan to treat and dispose the wastewater generated by this community was through a community septic treatment system, utilizing a spray area, the 28 acres, for disposal of the treated water generated by the system. The applicant, Artesian Water Company, and Artesian Water Company and Artesian Wastewater Management completed negotiations about 3 years ago in 2015 to provide potable water supplies to the residents and co-develop a pump station to deliver the wastewater to a regional treatment station owned by Artesian. Artesian has provided a ready, willing, and able letter in the appendices in support of this application. The pump station has been built, is in full operation, and the county bonds have been released for Phase 1, 2A, and 2B. A wastewater services agreement was negotiated with Artesian Water Services. Since an off-site sewer system has been implemented, the spray fields are no longer necessary and, in fact, have never been used. Capacity is available for additional lots, and there is enough land to meet the density requirements. So, in short, we're looking to put more lots on what used to be a spray field and now is no longer needed because we have central water, sewer, which is a good thing, we think. The applicant is, and the neighborhood's been rather successful. It's doing well as far as people being interested in going back there as far as location. So, like a lot of neighborhoods in Sussex these days. The applicant is seeking an additional 41 lots. 100%, as we've already been told several times, of the current homeowners have approved the expansion. In addition, the recreational facility originally designed, and we're going to get into this a little bit because in April 12th you visited this issue, and we'll revisit that and let you know where we are. It was originally designed for 800 square foot and bonded at like 154,000, is now being built for 3,800 square feet. And this anticipates, quite frankly, hopefully getting the new area, plus it's been successful, and that amenity was touted to the owners, and it was embraced, quite frankly. So they're more than doubling the recreational center for 300 square feet. And we're going to talk about the progress on that. First of all, I want to talk about the trees, because how this happened is the amendment was filed in February, and then there were meetings with the Homeowners Association about what was proposed. And Jack's got that up there. And that was pretty much the concept design that was shown at a March meeting for all the homeowners. And this was in conjunction with, it was the annual meeting, in fact, in conjunction with, we want to put some more lots in, we don't need this field, this is where we can do it, and this is how we're going to do it. There was a little blow up not too long ago because somebody saw the February site plan, which was just a concept plan, whereas this is what the applicant intended to do. Why is that significant? Because those existing houses north of that long pond there, they wanted those trees. And the February one didn't show those trees. So they were like, wait, you did a bait and switch in us or something like that. It was never our intention not to include the trees after the March meeting. The site plan just came in subsequent to that, after that. And so there's no mistake about it. That's what they want to do. We want to keep the trees, especially for those people that already live across from that long pond. Because it's actually, if you've been out there, it's really kind of a nice vista. You have a pond and then the high, tall pines there. So I just wanted to clear that up. All right, as far as the recreation center, completion of the recreation center was at issue at your April 12th meeting. And you may recall, at that time you extended, the recreation center should have been done at 2 years after the first permit was filled. You continued it to say 2 years after the CO. And if the rec center was not completed by September 8th, then no more permits would be allowed to be pulled, okay? And we're here to tell you tonight, and I think we're gonna get to that point, is there's some neat exhibits here. Insight is committed to finishing the rec center. They've gone full guns at this thing. Yeah, we had to show you, you know, some excuse for delay. If you recall, June and early part of July was pretty wet, okay? And I think you see a picture of that. The design of the rec center has gone, as I said, from 800 to 3,800 feet. So after the April meeting, certain planning took place, and they couldn't get a foundation down until midsummer because of the rain. The project has been bonded. Previously, it was 154. It's already been bonded at 954,000. Despite delays due to unusually heavy rain in the early part of summer, the contractors have pressed hard to get it built. And can we show that time lapse now?
You can't see it at the bottom, but this, what you see right there is July 26th. That's when it started, and it goes through the day and it goes through the night. And you see what's happening. And as you can see on the lens of the camera, it was raining, and they were pouring the concrete. There you can see it on July 27th. And also interesting to note, watch the puddle down at the very bottom of the screen as it ebbs and flows.
You can see also it gets dark at night.
Did y'all bring popcorn?
How long? Only 2 minutes, I hope.
be a lot slower if it was real time.
Okay, now it's when it really explodes. This is, again, it rained.
How many people were working on that?
We hired Broad Point Construction, and we made a change. We were going to build it ourselves, and they are noted for going into more complex commercial structures and producing them in a period of time, and we put them on a very tight schedule, obviously. But there's only so, look at the size of the puddle. You can only do so much when it's raining. I mean, it took us forever to get the pad site in to where it compacted. It's like trying to, you know, compact peanut butter, and brought in additional fill and did everything to finally get a pad site. So July 26th was the real start date for this, and I have pictures, if anybody cares to see them tonight. The siding is all on, stone is on, the facing is on the front. The outside of the thing looks finished. And here we are on 8-6, so this is when last day of rain, and on that day the camera crapped out. If we can go back to the slideshow.
It's all that rain.
Yeah, that's true.
Killed it.
With the technical term.
This picture was taken, I think this was taken on August the 6th. And today, all of the siding is on, all of the shingles are on, all of the roofing is on, the stone face is on the front, and they're actually starting to do mechanicals inside. So we're under roof and we're dried in, so.
So the question may be, well, when is it going to be done? Realistically, November, all the interior. And so we propose to you, because you've already said no permits after September 8th. If you continue that until we get a CO on the rec center, that's fine with us. But the point, I mean, it's up to you, obviously. I hope it's fine with you, too. But, I mean, they're going full guns on this, and it, you know, it should be done early November as far as the interior. And if you're interested in that condition, then that's how we propose it, because the CO is pretty clear. The pool is going to be dug soon, but
starting September 24th.
But
it's like you already got a pool out front.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. For the ducks.
Right.
For the ducks. But the reality on that is, if it's going to be a pretty large pool that you need to plaster, and you know, it wouldn't be open in for Thanksgiving anyway to swim, or Christmas, or January, or Valentine's Day. So they're going to dig it all, get it ready, and not plaster it till the spring. So that's just a reality. Hopefully, is that, am I right?
Actually, the contractor recommends that. He says that if you plaster and do not fill it full of water, when it in the curing process, it actually dries out and it'll crack, and then all of a sudden you're going back in and repairing the pool. His recommendation is do the gunite, get it all ready to go, get all the equipment in, but do not plaster it. And then next spring you plaster it, immediately fill it full of water, and it lets the plaster cure much, much slower, will make it stronger and a lot more resistant to mildew and everything else. So the people will be able to have a party in their rec center. They just can't take a swim yet. So
Christmas party, right?
Yeah, Christmas for sure.
So that's the story on the rec center, but it is coming along nicely, and I can't say enough, it's a lot nicer than what was originally proposed relative to the 41 lots we're using. It's exponentially gotten a lot bigger. The pool's going to be bigger as well. So, and it has, you'll see the plan shortly. It's got a nice parking area. All right, I'm going to turn to DelDOT now. The applicant, through its engineers Davis, Bowen, and Fidel, completed a review of the existing traffic and entrance improvements plan originally presented to DelDOT at the original approval of the record plat. That was dated in 2015. In accordance with discussions with DelDOT during the PLUS process, and later as actual construction commenced on the entrance work, the original plans were improved with a revised plan to accommodate increased traffic safety. Power poles were relocated to accommodate a better location for multimodal path and the roadway drainage. And not unlike the rec center, those of us who travel Route 9 probably saw this was a busy effort, and actually sod's gone down today just to get that multimodal path down. There's a lot of infrastructure there, but it's as of this evening, all the Route 9 roadway has already been resurfaced, including extended acceleration lane and deceleration lanes requested by DelDOT. So in addition to the original entrance, because we've proposed this additional lots, we've already done the improvements on that. Not to be presumptive, but you know, we had to do it while we were there, so they're already longer decel and excel lanes. The entire entrance work at Hawthorne is just about fully complete with sod and landscape, and it already addresses the additional lots requested by this applicant. So that's DelDOT. Anything you want to add on DelDOT, Jack?
The only thing I would point out, there is a slab right here where I have the pointer. That is a bus station. It's a plexiglass and aluminum frame, anodized frame cover. That is on back order for 20 weeks. They are 20 weeks behind fulfilling DelDOT. DelDOT has three contractors they'll use. They're all loaded up. They can't get to it. So we talked to DelDOT about it, and they said as long as those traffic lanes are done, that's fine. When it gets there, it gets there.
As to wetlands, there's no non-title wetlands in there. Environmental Resources, Inc. studied the property in July 2018 to refresh the wetlands review and determine that there are no wetlands. A copy of the ERA letter dated July 27, 2018, and boundary survey of wetlands is included in the exhibits. Ed Lanay did that. You're familiar with him. Let's go to the plan itself. We've already talked about the larger rec center. I think one real benefit of this plan is now it has a circular traffic pattern, because that Right, so you can enter there and go out there, so it's not just one in and one out, which helps alleviate, you know, just actually the internal traffic, because you have the option to go either way. So the people that are might live in phase six are going to go right and go left. And also for safety and security reasons, it's kind of nice to have a circular pattern. So we think that's an improvement. They all have access to open space, and open space will be provided around the stormwaters. There's a 50-foot buffer all around the area because of the ag. There's actually 46.33% of open space, which is a total of 41 acres. If you look at the data sheet, the addition of the 41 lots still gives you the density below what's required under 2, and the data sheet shows that. So it's a total of 132 acres, and the density is approximately 1.91. Before that, it was 1.6 something. But there's acreage there to get it when you do the total, and we're still below. You may have heard this before about some insight developments is the energy efficiency aspect of this neighborhood. It's going to continue with the additions. That is, as originally approved, the community also is one of a series of communities planned to be developed by the affiliated companies of the applicant, where the entire common area of the development will be energy neutral or net energy or net zero energy. All street lights, recreation center lights, and electrical requirements, pool equipment operation, fountains, landscape lights, and they'll be most energy efficient, like LEDs and things like that, will come from an on-site or off-site solar energy source established within the power grid that services the area. When the energy output from the system is more than required, the system will put power back into the grid, establishing credits against conventional power usage. All electrical fixtures and requirements will have conventional energy backup and redundancy in the event of any fault in the on-site energy production. So if that doesn't work, we'll have conventional power for the lights and such. In your exhibit book are the 99C responses, compliance that just to touch on a few, that it's integrated with the circular pattern. We're preserving the natural feature, their central water sewer. We're working on the school bus shelter, but otherwise I think it meets those, and we address all those as well as the plus comments. So in short, I'm going to wrap up unless Mr. Hayes has anything or you have questions for him or Ring. We think actually the addition of these lots is going to improve this property with the rec center, with the traffic pattern. We've already made improvements to the entrances. And again, we respect the fact that you've sort of got the hammer and the carrot going on with the rec center. And I think we've demonstrated that they're jumping on it, and we fully expect if you want to continue that or stick to that prohibition on permits after September 8th, but until the rec center gets a CO, we understand that might be on your minds. So,
all right, sir. If that concludes your presentation, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you. We'll start with Ms. Stevens.
I have two. One of them is one of the things I read that you have soil issues about you have to bring in fill to build your houses, which I guess is not really our issue, is it? How they build the houses, but
no, there is some soil issues actually in the phase that we're building right now, phase three, and we've had GTA has come out, Geotech Associates has come out and done some additional soil work. We know that we're going to have to import some fill to get it to the right compaction it should be, because it's a very clayed soil and it doesn't compact that well. It's expansive soils. Those soils are being used in other areas for leveling and whatever, but we are bringing in compacted fill to address that.
And then the other question is just the one that I ask everybody. Surprised you didn't expect it. Interconnectivity with the neighboring property, because you have the property on the west, there are several properties, but the property on the right is one. It's a large property, isn't it? For the east, I guess, east and west side.
Okay, this is part of our property, but this is all open space.
Okay.
This is forested. We know that the families that are farming this property, in fact, these people were kind enough to give us an easement down this road where all construction traffic is now coming in at the rear of the intersection to take construction traffic off of Route 9 and make it a safer entryway.
If I may, Jack, it looks like if you go back to the site plan, is that for that purpose there?
That's what it was for, yes. We left that open area there and...
So there is...
I'm sorry, I must have missed that. Then, so you're going to keep that there as an emergency access if people, after it's finished, it will be there?
It could be used emergency. We told homeowners for that very reason, please don't use it because heavy construction traffic is coming down there. But it is an emergency access to get out of the subdivision right now.
It's, I'm sorry.
And we will build the subdivision. If Phase 6 is approved, we'll kind of build toward the construction road where it can be used to the last minute.
Well, I would request that you keep that access there in the case of an emergency or...
Well, we won't close it off.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. We're not going to build a house on that lot.
Can you pull it up, this site? It's right at the end of Thoreau Way.
Right.
There it is, right to the right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we did anticipate your question.
I'm sorry. I have...
So we set you up.
You did. You got me good. Good. All right. Well, thank you very much. Keep up the good work, and I have no more questions. Thank you.
Gotcha.
I only have one question about the bus stop thing, but you said just a second ago it's a school bus.
There's actually... we did build a... inside the subdivision bus stop at the entry. When you go by the entry, you'll look and you'll see this copper top little gazebo.
Okay.
That's the bus stop. We've already built that. But in DelDOT's plans, they require their own standard bus stop. So we will have another shelter on Route 9 at that concrete pad built to DelDOT specs.
Because I was curious if that was for DART buses or for school buses.
It's more, no, that's for DART buses.
Okay.
The one that we've ordered. The school buses is the one that we built.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Strap.
So the temporary construction entrance that goes out to Prettyman, that is there any way to make that a permanent? I mean, well, let me restate that. It sounds like it's going to be a permanent temporary.
The owner of the property at some point wants that to be a county road.
He does.
He does. He wants to subdivide the property. In fact, he's offered it to us to subdivide it for him. Whether we do that or not remains to be seen, but that is his plan to do that and have that be a full county road.
Is there, it would be nice to be able to have an egress or just another way for the folks to get out and access through Prettyman. Is there any way y'all can make that happen?
I don't know at this point.
Well, it's his land.
So it's a gravel it's a gravel road now, and
you've improved it.
And that's the entrance right there.
That's right.
So you're saying that as far as you know, he has no intention of eliminating that access.
No.
The folks just have to drive across the gravel road.
Correct.
But he could cut it off. He could shut it off.
Yeah.
Or not.
Let's put it this way. We'll leave it open, and what he does, I suppose when the lease expires, we have a lease to keep that property open. I think it's for 36 months, and we paid him for it, and we improved it, and we have an agreement with him that we will keep it improved for that period of time that we have it while we're constructing the subdivision, and then after we're finished, what he does with it, I guess, is up to him. But I do know his plan was to take the adjoining property and to subdivide it.
Well, eventually they come to us and we'll say, by the way, you got a road there that you can connect to.
I think we're kind of limited as to what we can ask this particular applicant to do.
Own that property.
But, yeah. But it sounds as though we may get the opportunity to suggest or perhaps impose that condition on someone else at a future time.
We have no intention of closing it off. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Yeah, on the contrary, I mean, the best way to preserve it is to provide access to it on our property, which we've done.
It's just hard to get out on Route 9, on anywhere, and it's hard to get out from that location, and particularly the folks that live towards the back, to be able to, you know, sneak out that back way and, you know, then, you know, head, get over to, you know.
Wait.
But anyway, okay, I don't have any other.
Some of the homeowners are using it, I know that.
Yeah.
And they're going out that way.
I don't have any questions.
Okay, Ms. Wingate?
I was just going to encourage you to try to make it a real access drive as well, to Keller's point. But can you put the picture back up with the difference of the trees? I want to make sure I understand what the two different plans.
Okay. When we had a meeting with the homeowners on March the 9th, this was just a kind of a sketch of what we were going to try to do with this back subdivision. And these trees were shown as being there. Meanwhile, our engineers on February 20th, which was prior to March 9th, had drawn this, and the configuration was basically going to come out and remove some of these trees. There would be some more lots in here, less lots along here, and the configuration was different. When we met with the homeowners, there was a lot of discussion about, are these trees going to be retained? Mm-hmm. And Mr. Wiles said, yes, they will be. We'll change the design and have those trees be retained. Since that time, our engineers have redrawn the plan, and if you look at the tree save here and the tree save here, this was an artist drawing, and this is an engineer drawing. They're just about as close as you can go to being the same. And we were able to tuck the lots in a little tighter in this area and get the density of 41 lots and still no tree save.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Anything else? Okay, Jeremy. Anything?
No, thank you.
Sam? Okay.
No, thank you.
Council?
Not so much a question, just Ms. Stevenson brought it up. The commission does, and I'm not suggesting this applies to this application at all, but just for information's sake, the commission does have the ability to deal with soil conditions. Section 9916 talks about suitability of land and preservation of natural features. And it talks about land, this is what it says, land which is unsuitable for subdivision or development due to flooding, improper drainage, steep slopes, adverse earth formations or topography, utility easements or other features which will be reasonably harmful to the safety, health, and general welfare of the present or future inhabitants of the subdivision and or its surroundings shall not be subdivided or developed unless adequate methods are formulated by the developer and approved by the county engineer and so on and so forth. Again, I'm not suggesting based on what we talked about here with Phil that applies, but I just wanted to bring that up, that you all do have
okay.
the ability to deal with that, you know. And the commission actually has. I remember, Mr. Wheatley, there was one where there was some fill, like bricks and stuff.
Yeah, we've had situations yeah. where, you know, where they made aware of some place was a former construction debris disposal yeah. site or something. And so on. Let me ask you while we're talking about it, though, just so we understand. What you're encountering is just heavy clay soil?
Expansive soils, that's correct. And yeah. when you have that, you can't get the compaction that
right.
you really need. So what we're doing is excavating.
You're over-excavating, bringing in dry fill.
That's correct.
Compacting it.
Bringing in structural fill.
Yeah. Mr. Hopkins, I'm going to defer to your vast experience with dirt on that, but that does sound like the proper procedure to me.
Yes.
Okay. So, okay.
And again, I didn't read that to suggest that applies in this situation. That's just more so that you know
well,
it's in the code.
Question.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to know, and there could be someone here with an interest in that just to provide some assurance that, you know, it's being done and you don't have to worry about buying a home and having it sinking into the into the ground, you know. So that's how you keep that from happening. So, okay. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2018-11 Hawthorne Phase 6 in favor? Yes, sir.
Come on up.
Come on up. Yeah, come on up. Give us your name and you may have the floor.
Thank you.
Timon Hallman. I live at 19162 Alcott Way, which is lot 51 in Hawthorne.
Okay.
Right across the middle of the pond, and I just wanted to say number one, your staff here is great. I've taken the time sometime to come by and see the plans and stuff, and
Thank you.
There at the front office is really terrific.
Thank you.
If you guys have something to do, I want to give them some kudos.
All right.
And I want to say the plan is consistent with what Mr. Lyle told me. The reason I wanted to speak in favor of it, I was really ecstatic that you brought up that rear safety entrance, extra entrance, you know, coming from a big city. So I all these cul-de-sac neighborhoods kind of worry me. So the fact that you support and whatever you can do to encourage, you know, that road to exist and to extend all the way to Prettyman would be great. And so that's basically the main thrust. But in general, the property, especially from my perspective, which is right in the middle of the pond and preserving that forest, is great.
Well, Ms. Stevenson is leading the connectivity parade, and we are all following.
So, thank you. Just that short. And I just, I guess Insight might want to talk about the clubhouse plan with a lot of my neighbors. As you guys might have remembered from the last time around, there's a lot of them that's somewhat excitable, interested.
Yeah, I have some vague recollection of that, yes.
Yes, yes. So, you know, there's a lot of excitement there that might benefit from a thorough explanation of just repeating what you said to you. But other than that, just reiterating that the basic plan is consistent, and I love that back entrance.
All righty. Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2018-11, Hawthorne? Yes, sir. Come on up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Thank you. I'm Leonard William Stabile. My wife, Denise Jacoya, and I are homeowners in Hawthorne. Lot 56, that's 19206 Alcott Way. And in reality, I'm not in opposition with many of the things that I've heard, but there is one instance. And we've got the slide right up here. We are at the last lot, fully on the north side of the pond and the Alcott. And that last lot was part of the purchase that we made, knowing we would be on the pond. And when the decision was made and the vote was taken to approve the swath of trees that would sit across the pond, we were not to have a house across the way from us. Now, you can see the engineer's version versus the original depiction showed that there were more trees going further, and in fact, our lot 56, had trees right across from it. Now, it appears that there will be a house. From what I can tell, lot 221, there may be others. It's really bordering over. So we had approved a direction here that's based on not having a home right across the pond for which we planned and paid and purchased our home. Now it appears that there will indeed be homes right across on that north side of the pond. And that's different than what we approved before. So I'm not sure what happens next, except to say that we are in opposition with that.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what happened next either in general, but specifically, I can tell you what will happen next. As soon as you're done, we're going to let them explain that to us. How about that?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Willard, or someone from your team.
I'm sorry.
As Lucy said to Ricky, you have some splaining to do. What happened?
Jack. What lot number was it?
Because I'm 56. Having...
Ricky said to Lucy. I'm sorry. Ricky said to Lucy.
Which one?
56.
56.
It's on the arrows on the parcel.
Right there.
It's this one right here, because that's 57, that's 58.
I thought you were talking about the one on the very end. Which one are we talking about?
These two right here, right?
56. This is 56.
Yeah, please do.
Is an easement, right? And right here is where we live, right at the end of the pond. Yeah. So over here, There's no trees. Understand this is the easement.
If you're going to speak, I need your name.
I need you to come to the podium. Mr. Willard, I'm going to ask you to stand down for a minute so we can hear from this lady, if you would.
I'm Denise Jacoya.
Okay.
Married to Mr. Leonard Williams DeVille, 19206 Alcott Way, and Lot 56. And I just want to point out what the difference is.
I would like you to go there and put your finger on your lot so we all know exactly, because I thought it was the one on the very end there.
So it's the one at the very, this is where it is, Lot 56.
Okay.
And the trees were supposed to extend behind the pond, right here. See, the trees were supposed to be right here. So if you look at Lot 56 here, the trees are extended. They're gone now. The trees are gone.
I'm sorry, it's not my turn.
It's your turn now.
Yeah, because that's an existing forest, and if they're already there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, then they won't be removed.
That's simple.
Yeah, and if that shows that too close, they can go around there, you know, if they're already there.
That's not how we do it. You've had your trip, okay? But what I understand, the applicant is saying that whatever trees are there now are going to remain there. Is that what you're saying?
This is a preliminary plan, and
right.
We're listening now to some of the issues. That is treed right now. If our engineer is sitting right here, if he can save those trees will be saved. We're not out there to just cut down every tree that we can. We'll save the trees if that's what's necessary.
Well, I'm going to suggest to you that what is necessary is that these people get whatever they thought they were getting when they laid their money down.
I understand
okay?
that.
Okay? That's what I want to see happen.
Okay.
Okay? Good. Just want to make sure we're clear. Thank you.
Okay.
So, all right. Where were we? You're done, and it's up to me again. And then, okay, anyone else wish to speak in opposition or almost opposition? Yes, sir. Okay.
If you could leave this drawing up
right
now, because this is.
Well, if you'll come up here and tell us your name, we'll.
Glenn Jones.
Hi.
I live on 19212 Alcott Way.
Okay.
Lot 57, which would be the next lot. Over from
right.
What Bill and Denise had just spoken to.
Right.
And if I can go over
you
to...
Sure, yeah. Yeah, show us.
My question is this. That would be the lot we're on there.
Okay. Okay.
And we, too, were to understand that there would be trees up to this point here. It looks like it's been cut back. What I'm saying is, right now, obviously, this pond does not... This exists.
Yeah.
This is not existing right now.
Right.
So what is going to happen with all the trees that are in here? I assume you're going to cut all these trees down.
Well, let's back up a second, because the one that you're pointing to, it sounds like, was a concept plan. The one that we're looking at is the one on the left.
All right.
So some of the trees for stormwater management are going to have to come out. You can't have a pond and trees at the same time.
All right. What will be in here?
Well, that's what I think we were just talking about with the applicant. They said there's trees that are existing now, and certainly the commission has the ability to impose conditions as part of a final site plan to show
what's
trees
in here between these homes and the pond, the new pond, which doesn't exist right now.
Yeah.
But it looks like there's a fairly large tract of land here which has a lot of trees.
That's what we're going to ask the
thing. Okay, I'll find out as soon as you're done. You done? Okay. All right, sir. Thank you. Well, just checking, because you only get one trip, okay? All right, Mr. Lardner, can you address the issue with the trees?
Sure. For the record, Ray Lardner, principal and professional engineer with the firm Davis Bonner Fidel, 1 Park Avenue, Milford, Delaware, 19963. This area in question is a wooded area just like this entire parcel is. This area will remain wooded. There may be some slight clearing as we deal with grading of the rear lots of the houses with engineering practice, but the predominant amount of the trees will be preserved. This is a preliminary plan. This is a rendering. The rendering may not have exactly captured it, which is adding to some of the concerns of the neighbor, but we will preserve those trees along the back of these lots as it is existing wooded today.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And just for the benefit of the public, the way this works is, these are preliminary plans right now, and everything the gentleman just said is true, that you know. But if this subdivision is approved, there will be a further site plan approval process, and it's that final plan that's submitted for approval is where all these things, all these tales will be told, okay? And certainly the staff, the commission is alerted to the concern. I think the applicant appears to be sufficiently alerted to the concern, so everyone's going to be looking for it. You can be looking for it too, because anything that comes into our file is a matter of public record, and I encourage you to come in and check on it. And I also would suggest to the applicant, and I think they'd be happy to do this, is that they would communicate with you during the process, give you a courtesy copy of the plan that when they submit it to us, and perhaps they'll even sit down and review it with you, which I suspect they might do. But it's very important, and I think I speak for everyone on the commission, it's very important to us that promises made to you should be promises kept, okay? And we'll leave it right there. Does anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
Mr. Chairman, just one point also for the public, just timing expectations. So the commission probably will defer action tonight just to make sure that if they're going to approve it or deny it, that they have sound reasons for doing that. I wouldn't say necessarily expect a decision tonight. It'll be on an upcoming agenda for action, and the condition, you know, they can deny it or they can approve it with conditions, which would even include, you know, showing those trees preserved on the final site plan. The final site plan that Mr. Wheatley's talking about, I want to make sure there's reasonable expectations on that. If they get preliminary approval, they have to go through all the state agencies all over again, and DLDOT and DENREC and everybody. That takes time. Yeah, so I don't want the public to have an expectation that, you know, where's the final site plan in October? Because, you know, that's a timing issue that we don't have any control over, and oftentimes the applicant and their engineers don't have any control over, because you're dealing with all the different state agencies. So I just want there to be some understanding on the timing.
The timing, yeah. It'll be a while.
Thank you,
Mr. Okay, Chairman. Thank you. Anyone else on the commission? Any questions? If not, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is